When I go on the road, I have a choice between listening to the radio or putting on a CD. There are other choices, and if this recording studio was more sophisticated, I'd be able to play all my downloaded podcasts, and I'd even be able to, you know, call up from YouTube lots of videos and listen to the audio side of the videos. So you got all sorts of options when you're on the road, traveling somewhere. But I must say that on this day after American Independence Day, there's something I find very good about tapping back into this kind of stuff. One of the most impressive things I heard yesterday was a playlist shared on Audioboo by an American living in Ireland. He presented maybe 8 pieces of music together. I wondered if there was a special logic behind the order in which they were played. You know, 4th of July music, and maybe I've missed the, you know, link between all the different parts. But I took it as a great way of getting to know that person, that they shared 8 pieces of music. I knew he was American. I knew he'd been in the military at one stage. I knew he's, you know, the director of creative multimedia, teaching people and producing a whole lot of very talented, well, helping a whole lot of very talented young people to develop their skills and change Irish society for the better, and hopefully go abroad and pick up even more stuff. But the whole point about it was really the advantage of listening to somebody else's music.
It's every Sunday morning when I am by your side. We'll jump into the wagon.
Now I'm nostalgic for the music of the American Civil War. There's no doubt about that. You know, everybody has buttons, and, you know, I wonder what buttons can somebody press on you when you go all loose and open and almost like you feel you can drop your guard. And when it comes to songs that were sung by both sides during a most bloody conflict, a horrific bloody conflict, conducted during some of the most lovely weather, and I'm on the road between Cork and Limerick, and it is not what most people would call lovely weather. It is, of course, lovely weather for ducks. But the point is that some music will actually, or some buttons, when pressed, will actually make you get really loose, and the better part of you will come out to play. And that's what it does for me on a journey. Now, I'm going to a business networking meeting, so I'm going into, you know, suits. People in suits. I don't have a suit on, but I think it's kind of a little bit good to be a little bit different. But there will be people in suits. And in fact, I joke a little bit. I'm sure that some of the people who will be at this meeting, James Corbett and David Quaid and perhaps Piper Hawke, the shamanic counselor. These people, you know, and there'll be lots of other people. I've been told, actually, there'll be people from Limerick Heroes there. I'm very, very interested to find out more about that. When I came across some great photographs on Instagram, I became very intrigued by that. Instagram is more powerful than you think, really, and a lot of people just use it purely for, you know, displaying their snaps. But I believe you could use Instagram in a very purposeful way to further your cause. Anyway, that's another story. You could certainly build up a following. But anyway, going to Limerick on the road, under the hashtag On the Road Omani, reminds me, of course, of On the Road, Jack Kerouac. And you know, that taps me into my youth. And that's the other thing when you're going to meet people in business, you know. Often the discussion is about products and services and, you know, what's your website and who's your suppliers and, you know, what's your profit margin and, you know, how much do you think you can, how can you attract more customers? You know, that's the kind of stuff of business networking, isn't it? About, you know, what could we do together or what product could we develop and all that. But actually, you know, I find when I'm getting to talk to people about their business that I'm very interested in what makes them tick. What makes them tick. And often, you know, people don't want to reveal all that much about what makes them tick. You know, they hold the view that it's better to represent themselves through their products and services rather than through their own personality. So they hold back on their personality and they hold back on their history and they hold back on the stories of what they used to do when they were a teenager. And of course, we've all been warned that you should, you know, take off your photos from MySpace or what do you call that crowd? Bebo, yeah. Get rid of your Bebo page where you were seen doing things that you wouldn't want serious investors to know about. But we do live in an increasingly complicating world where curiosity is a major driver. Now, why is curiosity a major driver, I think to myself? Why do you think curiosity is a major driver? And was it always so? I think it always was so at a local level. I think it was always so. Humans are always gossipy. They like gossip. They love gossip. They love the latest bit of, what do they call it? Latest bit of ska. Yeah, they love all that. And you can't imagine, you know, any tribe of chipmunks not being like that. Or chimpanzees. Or whales or whatever. You know, animals are gossipy creatures. I guess anyone who is in a tribe of even a pride of lions, I'm sure they're into gossip, you know. So, you know, that's very much about local news and local stories, up-to-date stuff. But I think that there's a sociological shift that has taken place in society as a result of mass public education. And I think that people are so well educated now that they're becoming more and more curious. And maybe it's about curiosity being liberated from the shackles of authority. Maybe it's because the powers that be have less power than they had. Maybe it is that people have more education. But whatever it is, the question exists that we all face. How to deal with curiosity? How do we deal with the questions people haven't yet revealed that they have about us? People are curious about us, and I'm deliberately, as you can see, saying we're all in this together, folks. People are curious. Every time you put up an audio boo, people have questions about you that you're unaware of, and that they don't feel it's quite polite enough to ask you, or they don't feel like honoring you with that question. Or they ask somebody else for the answer, like, you know, who is Roger Overall anyway? And what does he do in his spare time? You know, I know he's a documentary photographer, but what's he like? You know, could I have him to dinner? You know, would he be trying to take my business away from me if I let him into my business? You know, these are the kind of things people ask about other people, you know. Can I trust him? You know, and in fact, I think that the big thing we all have is, you know, it doesn't matter who they are, can I trust you? So, you know, I remember going to see Tom Peters in the old days, when Tom was in full flight as the genius that he is, really, messianically promoting customer service. And I've been to him twice, and I remember one in particular in a hotel in London. Cost a bloody fortune to go for it, and I didn't pay the bill, but I had a budget and I brought people with me, and we went to see Tom Peters. And you know, Tom was human dynamo, And, you know, he was already had massive expectations about him because having read, you know, In Search of Excellence and I forget what the follow-up to In Search of Excellence was, but, you know, he peppered out a few volumes very quickly and he was terribly engaging and he was new and fresh and passionate about potholes in Boston, I remember. He told stories about some guy who was the mayor of Boston or somewhere like that, who was so keen to get change that he got chalk or got people to paint a circle around a pothole and photograph it. And I think he almost sold it. And this was all pre-Facebook, you know, so somewhere or other people were getting stuff out there on media in a new and different way. And Tom Peters was the great cheerleader. But I remember looking into his eyes in a crowded room and watching him minutely and watching his body language and saying, can I trust Tom Peters? Is he authentic? I know he talks the talk, but does he feel the talk? Is it real? Is it a show? Is he putting it on? Is he making money? Is he out there trying to sell his book? Or is Tom Peters really, really and truly, you know, a prophet, a messiah, a genuine, genuine, you know, pilgrim in the fight for good and valuable change for the sake of our children? You know, is he real? And that is, I think, what people are about you. They don't put it in these kind of grandiose terms, perhaps. But I think people are suspicious of you. People are doubtful about you. And people are too polite to tell you all the things that they're thinking about you. So, I don't know. I think, you know, it would time for...
I could not discover the fun. No, I could not discover the fun. I often get up in the trenches when some Yankee...
Now, that's a bit slow. Let's get a bit of oomph. Oh, this is better. This'll wake me up. Remember this?
Never was it Texas that I had climbed to see. Not a slaughter, not a, no slaughter born to be. She cries out as
stirring stuff on the 5th of July.
My heart. And if I had the fighter, we'd never fall apart.
In fact, it's still the 4th of July in Hawaii. So here's to Independence Day in Hawaii.
They talk about your dearest May and sing of Rosalie. But the auroras of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee.
Don't you love the Americans, really? I mean, love them and hate them, but my God, they are some people.
For now I'm going to find her, for my heart is full of woe. And we'll sing the song together we sung so long ago. We'll play the banjo gaily, we'll sing the songs of yore. And the Elaras of Texas shall be mine forevermore. She's the sweetest rose of color.
You know, we Europeans, we're so bloody sophisticated at times, we get up our own arse with it. We have all this long culture. We go way back before the Americans. But my God, the Americans can do rhythm, can't they? And marching, they really can. I wonder, I'll give you just one last bit. You can turn off if you don't like it. This is my daughter's favorite song.
Sitting by the roadside on a summer day, chatting with my best mate, passing time away. Lying in the shadow underneath the trees. Goodness, England, peace. Peace, 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 eating over peace. Goodness, how delicious, eating over peace.
It's silly, you know. How could a six-year-old girl in Ireland be interested in a song about people eating goober peas? And, you know, you don't even know what goober peas are. It's got to be something deeper.
Mister, here's your mule. But another pleasure, enchanting of the bees, is wearing out to fright us, eating gooper peas. Peas, 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 eating gooper peas. Goodness, how delicious, eating gooper peas.
And how can someone who loves that kind of music also, you know, have loved, you know, Gracie Slick and Jefferson Airplane and Moby Grape, and, you know, how can you love, you know, Donizetti, Janacek, Wagner, and the American Civil War music? But you can.
Goodness, how delicious!
I better stop now, you know. Just too much to expect you to listen to anymore, isn't it?
I think my song has lasted almost long enough. The subject's interesting, the rhymes are mighty rough. I wish this war was over, but free from brides and fleas, we kiss our wives and sweet.
I'm stuck behind Hibernian Salt from Cork. Telephone number 021-455-9955. If you want to ring them from, you know, Malawi, you put 00353 first, and then you go 21455-9955. For Hibernian Salt, we sell salt. And it's very slow lorry on the road between Cork and, well, it's like a tanker, really. I'm going to let this play itself. Oh, and in front of it is a horse box. So that's it, the Irish roads. Newcastle West to the left.
The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out. And we're all feeling gay when Johnny comes marching home.
Oh, yeah, we're near Charleville now, near Charleville. And Hyundai are advertising their cars all over the place near here. Yeah, welcome to Charleville. Thank you for listening. Oh, there's the graveyard. I'm passing a graveyard on the left-hand side, guys. Get everything in Ireland. Graveyard's right next to the roadside.
And we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
O'Shea's Hardware. Top line experts in hardware. Go. Oh, yes. The national place you test your car and see if it's fit for roadworthiness. And then Tiernan Og. Now, actually, that's interesting. I must get back on to Tiernan Og. I never noticed that that was there. Oh, I like this poignant one.
On the willow tree,
God, I wish I could sing.
I heard him sing, singing orally.
Orally. Volkswagen car in front of me. Kilmallock and Tipperary to the right. Charlevan Park Hotel and Leisure Club to the left. Oh, yes. All happening in Charleville.